So we pray the Holy Spirit come upon us and Our Lady in heaven, give all these graces that today what we hear be part of our life. And we bless Mr. White. And we are very delighted that he be possible to be with us tonight. So I give you time. And whatever the Spirit comes, you share with us. Thank you.
I thank you so much, Father. The peace and the grace and the love of Jesus be with each and every one of you. And I take this opportunity once again very humbly to say thank you to this wonderful couple who persevered on their own to translate one of my books into the beautiful Chinese language. My prayer tonight is for you, and it is for your nation, your native nation, China, that this book and that all such books that serve as a gospel, as a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ, will reach your homeland. And I pray tonight with all my heart and soul that I will be able one day to go to China and to bring this message there in person and to tell them of this wonderful gift of grace that God is allowing through this little village called Medjugorje to renew the gospel in the hearts of each one of us. That is His purpose. So I ask you tonight, before we even begin, please join me in this prayer that if it is God's will, we will take this message to the brothers and sisters throughout the great Republic of China and convert true souls to Jesus Christ there. I ask Our Lady's intercession through Medjugorje for this to be possible. It is through such acts of perseverance that this beautiful couple followed up on this desire placed in their hearts to translate this book. I remember clearly receiving the letter from them asking me permission to translate the book into Chinese, and they gave that permission. I gave it openly with absolutely no thought of what it would lead to, with no desire to be part of it in any way other than the fact that they would translate it and that the Lord would take it from there and do with it what it would. And that is what has happened. And I think that's one of the reasons we have such a beautiful gathering here tonight. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it absolutely incredible that our loving God would allow Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, a human mother, to come to earth, to appear here as just as you and I see each other, and to speak to each one of us this message of love, this message of peace, this message of conversion that she has given us at Medjugorje. Can you imagine the grace that's being poured out on us through this gift of miracle from our Lord? And yet, what you and I have just experienced in the Holy Mass, in receiving Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, what you and I experience now as Jesus in the flesh is here with us tonight in the holy blessed sacrament of the altar. You see, this miracle here and this miracle of our receiving Christ makes Medjugorje pale in comparison. This is why she comes. This is the purpose. is to inflame the hearts of every one of us with the truth and the reality of God. And with the truth and the reality of God come to earth as man, to be born of a woman, to go through the pain, through the suffering, to know us, His creation, firsthand. You know, I am supposed to be a man of words. I am a writer. It is beyond me to fully be able to phrase what God has given us of Himself. To come to earth and to live as we live, and to feel as we feel, and to suffer as we suffer, and then to take upon Himself the entire world, and to die on a cross, to die a horrible death on a cross, to feel wounds, thousands of wounds that you and I would feel if they were inflicted upon us. Sometimes I think we forget that. Sometimes when we look on the crosses in our churches and we see the body of Christ so clean and so pure, we do not remember what that body went through. And it is through this grace that we are gathered here tonight. And it is the reason Mary comes. And it is why a human mother was chosen to bring the message. I am asked so many times still, why, if this is truly a grace from God, why doesn't Jesus Himself come? Why doesn't Jesus come and appear and give this message? Why would it have to be the Blessed Virgin Mary? Because you see, outside of our Roman Catholic Church, outside of the Orthodox faiths, all of those of the non-Catholic religions see Mary as Catholic. Maybe you do as well. Do you think of Mary as a Catholic? I can promise you that every Protestant thinks of Mary as a Catholic. But she's not a Catholic in the sense that you and I might think. And she's certainly not a Catholic in the sense that they are thinking of her. The word Catholic, of course, means universal. She's the mother of His all. And the whole proof of Medjugorje and the proof that she is the spiritual mother is contained in that same Holy Scripture that she gives to us. If you might say, in paraphrase, she's giving us the gospel message of Christ all over. But there, on the cross, in His greatest moments of suffering, and maybe only a physician really understands crucifixion, it is suffocation. One can hardly speak with such great pain and such stretched limbs on the cross. And yet Jesus chooses that moment to say, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Imagine yourself nailed to the cross. Imagine the 5,000 plus wounds. Imagine the trauma. And then having somehow the ability to say, "Woman, behold your son." We are the sons and the daughters. We are the ones Jesus took that time to give to Mary and to make Mary the spiritual mother of all of us. I read that so many times as a Lutheran. I never really truly understood it. And to me it was very simple. She was simply being given to John to be taken care of. And it was only after Medjugorje, after realizing the great role of Mary, that I began to understand, would Jesus have taken that time, that opportunity to say to John, "Please, I'm going to be gone, take care of my mother." John did take care of the mother, but the mother has taken care of us ever since. And that really is what Medjugorje is about, the mother taking care of the children and preparing them for the Son. This is her role. I didn't know the first thing about Mary in 1985 in October. Almost 20 years ago. It will be 20 years this next month. I can't remember the day exactly. All I remember is that it was somewhere in the month of October, in my Lutheran church, in the Sunday school class, I was teaching. I was lazy. There is a lesson plan that is given to all teachers in the Sunday school classes in the Protestant churches, and it's a lesson plan that you go by using Scripture. And please bear in your minds and in your hearts that the brothers and sisters of these faiths are seeking God the same as we are. In a sincerity, and that sincerity and that seeking is accepted by that same Holy Spirit that comes into this church and makes these things possible. But I didn't want to really do the lesson plan. I didn't want to follow that Holy Scripture lesson. I wanted to do my own thing. And so I had said to the people the week before, next week when you come in, we're going to discuss modern day miracles. And so they came prepared, taking from magazines and newspaper articles of things that are beyond the normal explanation. And we talked about miracles. And it was an interesting class. And it was one that I really enjoyed because there was a lively discussion. And right at the very end of that class, one lady said, "Well, let me tell you the best one yet. From a Catholic friend, I was told that there are a group of teenagers in Yugoslavia, in a little village there, and they're saying that the Blessed Virgin Mary is appearing to them and is speaking to them, bringing them messages from heaven. What do you think of that?" And we were all just a bit dumbfounded. We didn't really know how to answer. And I looked at her and I almost did a double take. I said, "You're saying what? She's appearing to them?" "Yes, she's appearing to them in apparition, you know. She appears to Catholics in apparition." Well, I didn't know. I didn't know about Lourdes. I didn't know about Fatima. I didn't know about Guadalupe. I never heard of apparitions. But in my journalistic mind, my profession as a journalist, I dismissed it immediately as nonsense. How could Mary be appearing to these children? She lived, she died, she's gone, just like us. That's what I was taught in my Lutheran church. So I didn't accept it at all. But as a journalist and as the publisher of four small weekly newspapers, that was my business. I thought this would make an interesting story. This was in October, as I said. The holidays were not too far away, and I felt maybe writing about a modern-day miracle in this time of miracles when we celebrate Christmas, maybe that would be a good time to run this in my paper. Maybe it would help promote the paper more. Maybe it would help sell a few more ads for my newspaper. That was my interest. And so I singled this woman out after the class, and I said to her, "Becky, can you get me any more information on these apparitions in this place?" And she says, "Oh yes, I have a videotape that my Catholic friend gave me. And it was taken recently. It's been going on for nearly 4 years now." And so she obtained that video for me so that I could write the one story about Medjugorje. Several evenings later, I was in no hurry to see it. Several evenings later, I decided to watch. Maybe there wasn't a ball game on that night, and I had nothing better to do. So I thought, okay, I'll watch this video, and I will take notes so that I can do this one article for my newspapers. And so I did. And I began to watch that video, and from the very outset, there was something there. Something that said, pay attention. This is important. I felt something. And the more I watched and the more I listened, the more intrigued I became. How could this be going on for 4 years? How is it I never heard of such a thing as this before? How is it I never heard about apparitions? I never knew that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared and gave messages from heaven. How did all of this come about? But what struck me was the peace in the hearts of those who were giving witness in the videotape. They were very sincere. And then halfway through the tape, it literally showed the time of an apparition. And the visionaries were ushered into this little room on this side of the church. And it was there that they would have that apparition. The camera was, of course, taking this particular video. And the young visionaries, by this time in their early 20s, were a bit nervous and very uncomfortable with these people taping them. And they quickly made the sign of the cross and they began their prayers. And they began to pray in Our Father and Hail Mary and a Glory Be. And they kept doing this over and over. And then suddenly they all stopped on the same word. And I can remember to this day, it was the second part of the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. In the Croatian language, Kruk nas svagdani denam danas. They stopped and they fell to their knees in synchronization and their eyes focused on the one spot where only they could see the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the camera began to show their faces, and as it did, I looked into the eyes of those young people and I knew this was happening. And in my own heart, in my own mind, I thought, this is real. And with that realization, immediately, oh my God, if this is real, then so are you. And I think for the first time in my life, even though I was a so-called practicing Christian, I believed in God. It overwhelmed me. And then in that same cycle of compressed time, I thought, well, if God is real, He knows everything about me. Oh, my Lord, You know everything. You know all of my weaknesses, all of my faults, all of my sins. You know everything. And I felt this great wave of guilt. And as quickly as it came, it dissipated. And then the greatest moment of my life, that very same Blessed Virgin Mary, that Catholic Mary that I didn't know, spoke directly to my heart. And she said to me, very quietly and very gently, "You are my son. I am asking you now to do my son's will." I literally fell back into my chair, and in my head I'm thinking, no, you've got the wrong person. I'm not Catholic. I don't know you. I don't know your son. You have the wrong person. And again, just that sense of peace. And she continued her message to me, "My son, I am asking you now to write about these events. And then, if you choose, the spreading of these messages will become your life's work." Now, let me tell you quickly. I lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Most of you know Myrtle Beach because many Canadians come to Myrtle Beach in the summertime for vacations and holidays. Myrtle Beach has 120 golf courses, and I love the game of golf. And my ambition was to build my business, my four newspapers and my printing company. We were doing wonderful. We had everything money could buy. My ambition was to sell those things and spend the rest of my life playing golf. Now, isn't that a wonderful ambition? And then suddenly, here is this Catholic Mary speaking to this lukewarm Protestant saying, "You are my son. I am asking you to make this your life's work." I would be less than honest if I didn't tell you two very important things. Number one, I knew this was God working. I knew it. I didn't need any scientific proof. I didn't need any authentication. I knew it in my mind and in my heart. And number two, I debated within myself for the next couple of months as to whether or not I would do this. And that's the human side. I wish I could say to you that I fell on my knees and looked to heaven and said, Lord, let it be done unto me as you say. But I didn't. I probably did what most of us here would do. Do I really want to change my life? Do I want to give up the world to serve God? How I was reminded of that just a few moments ago as we did that fantastic prayer for vocations. I've never met a priest since I've been involved in Medjugorje. And listen, I have met literally thousands of priests in the last 20 years. I have been in thousands of churches, Catholic churches, in the last 20 years. I have never met one priest yet who didn't struggle with his vocation. And you know what? I think if there isn't a struggle, something's amiss. Satan doesn't turn us loose easily. Satan is in the world. Satan is in Medjugorje. Satan is in the heart and souls of every one of us, doing his best to take away what God wishes to give us in the way of peace and security and love. Satan was at Medjugorje 16 hours before Our Lady arrived there, waiting to destroy the very message that she would bring to those people. There was the most horrendous summer storm that struck just a little after midnight on December the 24th, 1981. So ferocious and so fierce in its intensity, like this horrible hurricane that just hit the coast in the United States in the southern area. So ferocious, the wind was blowing so strongly that the rain was blowing sideways and lightning was striking everywhere, and the post office was struck and set on fire, and everybody was awakened in that village, and many of the older people thought the world was coming to an end at that moment. And it was only later, a month and a half later, that Our Lady revealed that was Satan's presence waiting for her to come to take away what she came to give. And that's inside of every one of us. The temptation, that humanity, that makes it difficult to live the message of the gospel, to live the message of Medjugorje, to live the message of the Holy Eucharist. Because each one of us who has just received Christ is now part of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is part of each one of us. Imagine you have Jesus living in you. And you know what? Just as he saw into my heart, just as I realized at the moment of that message being given to me, oh my God, you're real. Many of us don't acknowledge that. Yet he's there. And he comes into each one of us in the Holy Eucharist without embarrassment, without hesitation, even in our most sinful ways. He comes into us out of love, out of mercy, out of a desire to save each and every one of us, just as he did so on the cross. My brothers and sisters, for 5 years after that message was given to me, I took it throughout the world. And for 5 years, I took it throughout the world as that Lutheran speaking about the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's how I was known. That Lutheran. It was such a shock. What is a Lutheran doing speaking about the Blessed Virgin Mary? After all, everyone knows she's Catholic. You see how God works? God didn't reach down and choose me because I have a great intellect. God didn't reach down and choose me for any reason other than the fact that I'm probably the least likely person to do this. God chose me, and it was up to me to say yes or no. And I'm very happy to say to you that after a couple of months of really thinking about it, praying about it, trying to get out of it, I should even add, I said very quietly, a squeaky little, "I'll try." That's the best I could do. And I'm here 20 years later to tell each and every one of you that that's still the best that I can do today. I'm trying. I'm trying even harder, though, because I know this Mary now. I know Lourdes. I know Fatima. I know Guadalupe. I know the Roman Catholic faith. I am a Catholic today. That is the greatest gift I have received from Medjugorje. I am a Catholic. And yet it never leaves my heart that I am to take this message to every non-Catholic and to say to every non-Catholic, Jesus loves you. Our Lady is your spiritual mother. God loves you and is pouring out this grace not just for Catholics in the world today, but for everyone. Everyone. Every child of God. Every Muslim. Every Jew. Every Hindu. Every atheist and agnostic. Every weak child of God. Now listen. I think, I'm telling you what I think, not what God is necessarily saying, but what I think. Medjugorje's apparition is the most important event occurring in the world today. Medjugorje's apparitions is the culmination, the fulfillment of what she began in Fatima. Medjugorje's apparitions, in fact, go beyond Fatima all the way back to 1846 to the apparitions of La Salette in France. And if you don't know those apparitions, I'm telling you here tonight, get the books, read about them, learn the message. If you read the message of La Salette that she gave there, you would think you were being spoken to directly today, because what she had said then applies to today more than ever. How ironic and sad that this horrible hurricane has brought such devastation to the city of New Orleans especially, and the other areas surrounding there, in some places even as bad, but mostly right there in New Orleans. How ironic, because in the beginning, when Medjugorje began and the United States began to find out and Canada began to find out about Medjugorje, almost all of the early pilgrims came from the city in the surrounding suburbs of New Orleans, Louisiana. I would say that within that state, more than 1 million pilgrims went to Medjugorje. They were our representation in the early days of the apparitions at Medjugorje. And as it has gone on, it has faded, and there has been less interest there in that city of sinners and saints. I do not look at such events as God's direct punishment. It is a natural disaster that has happened. But it is a time when God becomes truly present to make known his salvation and his grace in a very acute manner. And I would say that that's what's happening. Especially when we see the reactions of the people. The reactions of the people as they look at this tragedy. The cries even from that area, and I realize the suffering. I realize it in the most intimate way. I feel it for them. But the cries and the demands that help should be there immediately, because we're not used to suffering. We're not used to doing without our food and water. We're not used to doing without the comforts of today. All these things Our Lady pointed out in the early weeks of Medjugorje. I am inviting you to prayer, to fasting, to penance, to prepare us for the coming of her Son, Jesus Christ. Fasting, the taking of one day a week, one day, Friday, the day of the Passion, and attempting to give a gift to God by having just bread and water. There's more to it than just the food. There's more to it than just the hunger. It's in preparation. It is in allowing the Spirit to rise to the top and the Spirit to lead and not the flesh. You see, it has everything to do with what is happening in our world today, because we are so soft. We are so used to comfort. We are so used to having everything provided here for us in this wonderful little comfort zone. What has happened there can happen anywhere. And it has. In the tsunami that took place, in the horrible war that took place in the former Yugoslavian Republic itself, in the horrible wars that take place in Africa that go on to this day, the rebellions that are taking place all over the world, the suffering that people have gone through, in the slavery that's taking place in the Far East, where children and young women are sold into slavery at a very young age. Suffering has been here. We don't see it because we're so accustomed to our comfort zones. Medjugorje is the most important event in the world today in my mind and my heart, because it is a reminder that God is giving us this grace for a purpose, a reason, to prepare us. There are 10 secrets connected with Medjugorje, and I don't usually speak about these secrets, but they're there. And some of these secrets contain catastrophic things that are to happen in the future. And I don't really speak on those, because it's not a message of gloom and doom. It's a message of love, a message of peace. But it's there. And Our Lady is saying to us, and has been saying to us now for 24 years and 3 months, prepare yourselves now. Give yourselves now to my Son Jesus. Fast. Pray. Do the penance of love for one another. In the next few weeks, we will see that penance of love being poured into that area where it's needed. I would hope that that penance of love would be something that happens constantly in our communities, without tragedy being the force that brings it about. I would hope that we would love Jesus as Jesus loves us, to where we would do for one another as Our Lady is asking us to do at Medjugorje. You see, it's not just a place of miracles in the way of signs or healings. The real miracle of Medjugorje is the awakening of the hearts and souls of all of us throughout the world, who realize that we are the child of God. Because when we realize that we are a child of God, then we begin to live the messages. Then we begin to understand. We are able to accept what God gives us and see His mercy, His love, and His grace in everything. I've written, I think, 5 books now. And I have just completed my 6th book, which will be released in 1 month from today or so, the first week of October. And again, it's about Medjugorje. And it's about young people. It is about the conversion stories, the transformed lives of young people through this holy grace of Medjugorje. And the title of this book is A Child Shall Lead Them. It comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, where the lamb will lay down with the lion, etc., and a little child will lead them. I just returned from Medjugorje several weeks ago. The first week of August, I was there for what is now an annual event at Medjugorje in that first week of August called the Youth Festival. And many of the stories for this new book come from young people who have gone to Medjugorje during the Youth Festival. It began 16 years ago as a handful of young people gathered there, and it quickly picked up momentum and grew to where there were up to 10,000 young people coming to Medjugorje. It was like the greatest rock concert taking place in the world, except the real Madonna was there. That's not my line. I took that from someone else who's involved in Medjugorje, but I think it's incredible. It really points out the need today for us to truly pray, protect, and take care of our youth. 10,000 young people were going there. And I remember in the early days, I took my son Kennedy, that little two-year-old, whom we took to that Lutheran church to have baptized, which is what brought me into that church to start with. I had been away from the church for more than 7 years. And I took him to Medjugorje when he was 15 with two of his friends for the youth festival. And several years later, I took his 15-year-old sister. And then just 2 years ago, I took my 15-year-old granddaughter. Hard to believe. This year, just 3 weeks ago, just before the youth rally in Germany with the Holy Father, there were 35,000 young people in Medjugorje. 35,000. Incredible. When I go to Medjugorje, the first thing I do when I arrive, and many of you have been there, and you know it's a difficult trip physically. It's at least 24 hours, and you're very tired, and you're worn out when you get there, and then you're so excited because you're there. The first thing I always do is go to confession. And I'm very tired, and I always get in the line, and it seems like there's two or three people, usually women, in front of me, and they get into that confessional, and it's like they're never going to come out. And I'm standing in that line. My legs are aching, just wanting to go get horizontal somewhere. And it always takes a long time. Well, this time was no different. But there were so many people there, and there were priests everywhere, and not only in the little booths there, but they were on the lawn, sitting there with a couple of chairs so that they could do confessions right there on the lawn. And there was one man left in front of me, and there was someone in there, and they just stayed in, and he finally turned to me and says, "Look," he said, "that man's free, that priest is free, why don't you go over there to him?" And I said, "No, you're in line first, you go." He says, "No, I want to go, I know this priest, you go." So I did. And I always know that I go to the right priest. I'm always sent to the priest that I'm supposed to go to. So I did. I go over there. Turns out he's an Irish priest. And I had, I think, been to confession not too long before going to Medjugorje. So I sat there and I began, "Father, you know, I always go to confession when I come to Medjugorje. And the next thing I know, I'm pouring out my heart. And what I am saying, I'm listening to, and I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm saying these things. I had been so busy writing this book and traveling here and going there and doing these things, it is as though I suddenly wasn't going to daily Mass the way I used to. And I hadn't been for quite some time. And it just came pouring out. I had no intentions of speaking about this." And I went on for probably 15 minutes, and I'm thinking, I'm like these women in front of me. They're never going to finish. And this Irish priest took a moment, and he looked at the ground, and he looked up at me, and he said, "You know, when you come to Medjugorje, You have to come here like a little baby. And my heart just jumped. You have to come here like a little child. He says, you know that scripture, a little child shall lead them. You have to come like that. I said, Father, excuse me. And I said, I'm involved in Medjugorje. I write books about Medjugorje. He says, yes, I know who you are. I have your book. And I said, well, I'm not telling you that for any reason other than to tell you that I just finished a book. And I said, you've just quoted that scripture. I said, that's the title of the book. A child shall lead them. But we had a wonderful 20 more minute discussion in that confession. So I was sitting there holding up everybody else having this beautiful confession with this wonderful Irish priest. Do you know what that was? It was the confirmation for me that I had done what Our Lady had asked me to do. I had written what she wanted me to write. And I'm very happy and excited that that book is coming out shortly. And hopefully you'll be able to get it at your Catholic bookstores and even at the secular bookstores. So if you would, look for that book. I don't have them with me tonight. Of course, it's not out yet. A child shall lead them. I want to just tell you one story quickly about how Our Lady just takes over your life when you allow her. I gave her that little squeaky, I'll try. And she's taken that tiny, tiny little acceptance and she has extracted every possible thing she could from me to this point. And she continues. She is the one who literally leads me in writing the books. Medjugorje, the message. The very first book I wrote. And in fact, if I had written that book and no other book, it would have been fine. Because that book is so anointed. You know, excuse me as the author for saying so, but I'm not the author. I only was able to put my name on the front of that book. She's the author of that book. She guided it. I remember sitting in my little study area where I was writing that book on a handy computer. I didn't even know how to use a computer. I learned just enough to where I could do the book. And I remember thinking the whole time I'm writing that book, this is corny. No one's going to read this stuff. This is not what I really thought about writing. One day I was going to write the great American novel. Not this stuff. And that book has touched so many Protestant hearts as well as Catholic hearts. That book has literally fallen off the shelves in bookstores at the feet of people, Protestants, who had no intentions of buying it until it landed at their feet. Now I say that because that story has been given to me not once, not twice, but many times that it's happened. And so many other stories of how people have obtained that book. That's Our Lady's book. She is the author of that book, just as she is this new one. I was putting the book together early this year in January. I had about maybe half the book done. And I had enough stories, and I knew I could finish the book probably, I was hoping, by April or maybe even late March if I worked really hard. And I was at a conference in St. Louis, Missouri. And there was a break. And I got under the elevator to go up to my room to just be quiet for a little while. There was a young couple there on the elevator. And the minute I got on, the door closed, they said, you're Mr. Weibel, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. We read your book. And we went to Medjugorje. And we met in Medjugorje. And we're married today. And I thought, wow. I turned to them and I took out a pen and I wrote my email. I says, listen, when you get home, please email me your story. Can you do that? Oh, yes, we'd be happy to. And the elevator door opened. I got out on my floor. In 30 seconds, that's all it took, and it was done. And so I went back to my room, and I really kind of forgot about it. I just made a quick note about looking for their email. And I got back home several days later, and they both had emailed me their full story. And those two stories became two chapters in the very center of this book. In that 30 seconds in that elevator, it became a very important part of my book. I didn't plan that. That's how Our Lady works. If you and I let go of this world, let go of these worries, let go of all these things of the world, and just let God through Mary, we will be amazed at what can happen. She will take charge. She will guide you. She will give you what you need so that you truly can give back to Jesus what he gives us in the Holy Eucharist, what he gave us from the cross. That's what Medjugorje is about, converting our adult hearts into the hearts of children that we might truly serve God as he serves us. We can give back to him. I leave you with two gifts in closing. One is a very special grace from Our Lady that she has obtained from the Holy Spirit, her spouse. It is a special blessing. I'm going to give you this blessing. And I'm going to ask you, when you receive this blessing, for you to immediately give it to whomever you think in your heart needs it the most right now. And you can do this over and over and over. You are going to have the gift of healing of hearts and souls with this special blessing from Our Lady. You simply have to have the heart of a child to believe it and to accept it and then to use it. You can give it mentally. You can give it to someone 12,000 miles away from you right now. So I'm giving you this blessing now from Our Lady. And I ask you, if you want to receive it, just raise your hands like this, and you literally, it's just a matter of saying to the Holy Spirit, yes, I will accept this. Just this way. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for this grace. And we thank you, most holy and blessed Mother, for having obtained this for us in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, just in just a matter of one or two seconds, give it mentally, in your mind, in your heart, to whomever you think needs it the most right now. Amen. This last gift is for me personally. I'm very grateful to God for the gift of this mission and for the gift of writing. I thank him every day for the gift of writing. I truly do. It took me a long time to acknowledge that it was his gift. It took me a long time to even realize that I was a writer and to realize I was a writer for him, not for the great American novel. But the most important grace and the most important mission that he has given me through Our Lady is what I'm going to give you right now. I take every one of you here and every member of your family, I place you here in my heart on this altar of God, and I promise you that I will pray for you every day for the rest of my life. Every member of your family and you every day for the rest of my life. I mean that. I would fall far short of my mission if I did not do that every day. And I pray it with enthusiasm. I ask you to hear Our Lady's message. I know I didn't talk about messages specifically tonight, but I don't prepare what I'm to say to you. I just give you whatever the Spirit is giving to me to give to you. But I think you really understand her message a little better tonight. Please pray for unity and peace in the world today. Pray for the hearts to turn into hearts of children. Pray for one another. Pray for our church. Pray for our priests. And I would hope somewhere you might say a little prayer for me and the work that Our Lady has given me to do. I thank all of you for being here tonight. I thank Carmel especially for inviting me to come to this area. This particular evening was thrown in at the very last minute. And I think Carmel and I both agree that this might be the real reason that I came to Toronto tonight. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
And thank you so much that you shared the blessing of Our Lady for all of us. And also we promise also we remember one another. from right this moment on, then we pray for one another and with the blessing of